Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. We begin today with retirees in revolt, not just in France, as many of you were just hearing on the BBC, but in New York and across the United States. Maybe they should be chanting, "We're old, we're bold, get used to it." The issue in France, as you've been hearing, is raising the official retirement age from 62 to 64. The issue here is forcing retirees off traditional Medicare and into the managed care plans known as Medicare Advantage. It's happening to seniors all across the country. Here in New York, the issue is really coming to a head right now for retired New York City public sector workers, teachers, firefighters, and many others. Just yesterday, Mayor Eric Adams refused those retirees' request to have the option as individuals to stay on traditional Medicare. He said the city can't afford it. Also yesterday, some of you may have seen the New York Times had a story about the Biden administration trying to reduce payments to Medicare Advantage plans because it says those private plans are costing the government more than traditional Medicare, not less, because they've been found to overbill the government in organized acts of fraud. And here is maybe the most bizarre and troubling aspect of this trend, at least locally. The mayor and the New York City public sector union leaders are on the same side. That's right, union leaders like Michael Mulgrew, president of the UFT, very much in the crosshairs here, are imposing this unwanted shift in healthcare plans to their own retired members, apparently in exchange for higher pay for the current workers. In fairness, the switch will also provide some new benefits, such as routine hearing and vision exams, hearing aids, and mental health care provided via telemedicine that traditional Medicare doesn't have. Many older Americans are choosing Medicare Advantage plans voluntarily. Here's Mulgrew, leader of the teachers union, in a WNYC interview on March 10th, saying retirees will mostly get to keep their current doctors.
Our goal was to make sure that we actually matched all the benefits that our retirees currently have and then see what we could actually gain in negotiations by really being hard-nosed about it with the company.
But after those negotiations, many retired teachers and other city workers are not convinced. They're angry, they're scared about their health futures, and they feel betrayed by their own unions. They're old, they're bold, get used to it, and they're calling in already like crazy. So let me give out the phone number, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And joining us now, with those unhappy retirees' perspective, is Mary Ann Pizzitola, president of a group that has formed around this issue, the New York City Organization of Public Service Retirees. She herself is retired from the FDNY's EMT branch. Mary Ann, thanks for your service, first of all, and thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Just to help our listeners get to know you a little more, what more specifically did you do as a city worker, and when did you retire?
I worked for New York City EMS in 1996. The EMS branch was merged into the New York City Fire Department. I was an EMT for New York City, and I retired in 2004.
There are hundreds of thousands of New York City workers in any given year. So can you give us a rough number of how many current New York City retirees there would be today?
The city uses the number 250,000 Medicare-eligible retirees, and that would be your over 65 or your disabled retirees. There are many more that are under 65.
And they would all be switched into this one Aetna Medicare Advantage plan involuntarily?
Yes, stripping them of their current 14 choices of health care plans and forced into one managed Medicare Advantage plan.
So maybe the answer is obvious, but what led you to start this group, the New York City Organization of Public Service Retirees?
Specifically to challenge this issue, as we know what we were promised when we were hired, that we would have a choice of healthcare plans. And because we gave up years of higher wages in order to maintain or preserve our health benefits, that we would have these benefits until our death. We were told that the benefits that we had in employment would carry over into our retirement. And this was something that we relied upon as a form of deferred compensation. So to have that reliance on being in a federal public benefit of Medicare, a gift given to us by President Lyndon Johnson and Mayor Lindsay, to then have it taken from us by this administration and our own unions is absolutely a disgrace. So we decided we were going to fight back. Our concern was that we are very familiar, or as customized as Mr. Mulgrew likes to say this plan is, it's not traditional Medicare. And this is where it gets concerning, and why we decided to push back was because you are stripping people out of a current benefit that they have, and all the little perks that you want to say makes it custom, like a silver sneaker or a hearing test, which you can still get, is not enough, where we're giving up access to our medical providers, narrowed networks that prevent us from seeing all of the doctors in America that accept Medicare today, and then being subject to prior authorizations, where instead of my doctor determining what my care should be, I'm leaving it to a health insurance company.
Let me get you to talk more about the dispute that the retirees have with your unions. This may be the most surprising part to people who are not already involved in this issue. As I understand it, the roots of this go back to a labor agreement struck with the de Blasio administration nearly a decade ago to give raises to city workers in exchange for promised savings on healthcare costs, which keep going up. And this is a big way the union is making good on their part of the agreement, Medicare Advantage for retirees. I've read that this is projected to save the taxpayers $600 million a year. Is that your understanding of why we're even having this conversation?
This would be the first time, Brian, that a union in history negotiated a contract that was partially funded on the backs of other union workers and retirees. That contract was basically the start of the destruction of the labor movement in New York City. That absolutely happened. In 2014, the UFT negotiated a contract that was partially funded by other labor organizations and the retirees. It required $1 billion to be transferred to the city from the Health Insurance Stabilization Fund that primarily benefits active workers and under 65, non-Medicare retirees, provides the differences in premium for their health care plans as well as their prescription, vision, and dental, their welfare fund benefits. Out of that Health Insurance Stabilization Fund, a Medicare retiree does not typically benefit other than a welfare fund benefit, their prescription, vision, or dental. And managers who are not union are also affected by this change. They don't have a union, but then they are also compelled to the same decisions that the Municipal Labor Committee make. So, yes, that is exactly how that happened, that they negotiated a savings that was borne by the rest of us in order to get their collective bargaining raises. So they sold off, how we say, they sold off their most vulnerable population, their Medicare-eligible retirees, in order to benefit themselves with collective bargaining. And that is that's very sad.
So you feel like your interest as union retirees is being pitted against the interest of your fellow union members who are younger and still in the workforce.
Yes, and they don't even see it coming because this is our right now, but this is their future. And to try to get them mobilized that this is exactly what's happening, that their unions within the MLC, and it's not all the unions, the Municipal Labor Committee itself is an organization that's completely outdated and not democratic. They have 102 unions, but it's a weighted voting structure. So one vote for every 250 members is the voting structure. They can pass a motion with a two-thirds vote, which they can primarily do with just the teachers union, the UFT, and DC-37, even if the other unions don't agree. And in this last vote that they had, 13 unions voted yes, 17 unions voted no, 10 unions abstained, and another 13 were no-shows. When you add the district council 37 locals, because they also have a weighted vote in this, however, DC 37 would, as a whole, you would use whatever the majority was. 32 DC 37 locals voted yes, 9 DC 37 locals voted no. So when they say that this was an overwhelming majority, that's disingenuous, because the UFT and DC 37 hold the largest amount of numbers of memberships. That is why they say overwhelmingly, because Michael Mulger can come up with several thousand, you know, numbers. It's just not right.
We'll play another clip in a few minutes of Michael Mulgrew when he was interviewed on the station a couple of weeks ago, saying why he thinks this is going to be okay for the retirees. So that's coming up. And before we start taking some of the many phone calls that are coming in on this, just to finish this one thought on the relationship between you all as city unionized city retirees and your union leaders. Do the union leaders have incentive to not represent retirees as well as current workers, because the current workers get more of a vote on contracts, or they pay more in dues, or what would give the union leaders incentive to disadvantage you over current workers?
Value. Retirees under New York State Taylor Law cannot be represented by their former unions. Taylor Law allows the unions to represent those in their collective bargaining unit for wages, hours, and work conditions. I, as a retiree, do not have that. This is why I find this so disturbing, that the city council will say that they still need clarity and that we should go and collectively bargain this. We do not collectively bargain. We're retired. We made our deals, and this is up to the city to respect those decisions and not allow or engage in with our former unions to negotiate us away for value for them. That is purely putting labor against the retirees, and OLR themselves did it. I can understand, look, you know, everyone has a financial hardship. You have inflation at like nearing 9% at some points, and everything is expensive these days. But retirees are on small pensions, fixed pensions. Our pensions only raise by 1-3% of the CPI. Can you live on a raise of $540? It's 1-3% of the CPI in the first $18,000 of your pension. This year was the first year, I can't tell you, since I don't even ever remember getting a 3% increase in a pension. So $540 doesn't really get you that far. They are definitely selling off retirees' value. Michael Mulgrew said it in a video that's on my YouTube channel. He said, the city said to us, if you can give us back that 20% plan, meaning our supplement to our Medicare, we'll give you that $600 million we would have spent on them and put it in your welfare funds. Tell me that's not a quid pro quo, that they just sold us off like cattle to fund the active unions. I mean, we should be able to provide union raises to labor because they earned it and they deserve it and they're underpaid to begin with. But it shouldn't be about pitting your former retired labor against labor in order to fund those things. That's a disgrace.
So structurally, if I hear you correctly, you as a retired EMT are no longer represented by your union. All
Correct.
The retired teachers are no longer really represented by the UFT, even though you're at their mercy to negotiate your health benefits.
Yes, and this is why we relied upon a few things: legislation, litigation, and the city council. Because if my union is no longer, the unions don't represent us, and that's a fact, and that is law. But they always looked out for a retiree because they knew they would one day be one. Victor Gottham, Lillian Roberts all said, never touch a retiree health benefit. And yet this is exactly what's happening. Once you open this door, this is going to keep on happening. What else are you going to take from me? So yes, you're absolutely correct. Retirees, I don't vote for their contracts. I don't vote for their union presidents. There's only one union that I'm aware of in the city that allows retirees to vote in a partially weighted vote structure, is the United Federation of Teachers. But they tie that union dues to healthcare benefits to keep them within the organization. So, but the short answer is no, a union does not represent the interests of a retiree. They don't even let us in the MLC meeting. And this is why we relied upon the council.
I see, in fact, that some of the people calling in are current workers as well as retirees. So we're going to see if there's a coalition forming there or if they feel like their interests are being pitted against your interests fairly. We're going to take a break here and then continue. Listeners, as some of you might be fretting over, Marianne Pizzitola's line is not so great, and we're going to reconnect, and I'm confident we're going to get her on a better line, and then we're going to go to some of your phone calls, another clip of Michael Mulgrew, as this conversation continues. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're talking about the New York City plan to switch New York City public employee retirees from traditional Medicare into a Medicare Advantage managed care plan against their will to save money as part of a deal with the representing unions, with Marianne Pizzitola, president of a group that has formed around this issue, the New York City Organization of Public Service Retirees, and Sarah in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Sarah, thank you for calling in.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call, Brian. I'm from the Cross Union Retirees Organizing Committee. We've been on the street for 2 years fighting this nonsense. Now, just a few days ago, we had a hearing, a public hearing, on the that the OL, the Office of Labor, the OLC was having about the Aetna contract. Now, the Aetna contract that was put on the public hearings page and that everybody referred to the day of presenting their testimonies on this Aetna contract, now they're saying that that contract was erroneous. The contract that had three different options, option A, B, and C, on the attachment B of that Aetna contract. Now, that option C gave us the right through the Aetna contract to keep what we have. The city would have to pay an extra $20 a month for people, but that was an option that Aetna agreed to in their contract. Now,
but is that exactly what the mayor rejected yesterday?
Yes, he rejected it. He said option C is not an option. However, now they are saying that a letter that they sent out dated March 10th, which nobody has received yet, at least many of us have not received yet, is the real contract, not the contract that was posted on the OLR website that everybody referred to in that public hearing. If that contract was a mistake, then those hearings are invalid. And we want to find out why our union leaders, mine is Michael Mulgrew, he's one of the ringleaders in this. He forgot that he was elected to protect our benefits. And he's in cahoots with the city to only offer us a privatized Medicare disadvantage plan. Other proposals have been put forth.
You're calling it Medicare disadvantage.
Sarah, let me jump in and ask you a follow-up.
Yes. Right, it's a private managed care plan that has a relationship with Medicare. And there are many retirees around the country having similar battles, also many going into Medicare Advantage plans voluntarily, and we'll get to that. But Sarah, let me ask you one follow-up question, just relating to the part of the conversation that I was having with Marianne before the break. If you feel so betrayed by Michael Mulgrew and feel that he, as a union leader, is more in cahoots with management, the city in this case, than representing you, why do you think he would sell out retired members?
Well, I think he got into trouble years ago when he decided to remove $1 billion out of the health stabilization fund that was earmarked for health benefits, and he used it to pay back pay to current teachers. Now, the rest of the MLC went along with it because he basically, he, Henry Garrido, and Harry Nespoli, as Marianne said, the MLC has a weighted vote.
All
so
different union
Michael
leaders.
Mulgrew and the other two basically decide everything. So they went along with that. Now, you know, $1 billion is a lot of money. So they decided they're going to give the city $600 million a year forever to pay them back and
right.
cut costs. The point
and
is,
that's interesting
the
to say.
Professional. Yeah, go ahead.
Marianne, go ahead.
She's making a good point in that in the 2021 agreement, when the 2018 agreement ended, the city of New York sent a letter to the mayor, de Blasio, saying that the 18 agreement, the MLC agreement, was completed successfully and that they met all their savings benchmarks. And they were going to implement Medicare Advantage not to to meet a savings benchmark, but solely to fund the stabilization fund, which we have been shown that has been misused by the city of New York and the MLC, was used for things other than it was intended to, and it doesn't serve a Medicare-eligible retiree other than those in unions and for welfare fund benefits only. The true benefit to that fund is for active workers and some of the under 65 retirees. So
I think we have an active worker on the phone next. And Sarah, thank you for your call. Jen in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jen.
Hi, how are you? I'm the chapter chair at Hunter College, and so I work with a bunch of active workers and also people who are on the cusp of retirement. My union, the PSC CUNY, has been among the unions within the MLC who's been leading the effort against privatizing healthcare and against what's been happening. And I guess what I want to say is two things. One, this is a real violation, right, of this promise to workers. I see people just as what's been said, right, really afraid, like we're on the cusp of retirement and really afraid of what's been coming, because we know there's not private business magic that, like, saves money other than, like, denying and prolonging care to people that's really harmful, right? And study after study across the country on Medicare Advantage or disadvantage shows that. But I want to say something else, and I hope, you know, there are tons of active workers who are listening to this show right now, who have things like PHI and premium-free healthcare. And part of what we know about the sort of analysis on how to save $600 million is we view this, right, as the sort of opening shot to come after premium-free healthcare for everybody. Because once this happens, then the sort of door has been kicked open to sort of say, okay, well, you, even though you work and make less money than you would in the private sector. Like, I make less money right now, right, working at Hunter College than I did at a nonprofit organization, right? Even though you make less money and you have premium-free healthcare as part of this bargain, your family is now, in fact, going to, like, pay a benefit. Like, we're now going to charge you, right? And so we've been making a deal, right? We've been making a deal for this, right, as city workers. And now we see that being eroded. And so I hope everybody, and it's been frustrating how many active workers have not been following this issue, and it's complicated. And so part of the reason why I wanted to call in is not only to stand up for retirees, but also to get every active worker and all New Yorkers to pay attention to this issue because it really matters.
Right. So, Jen, let me ask you. I know that Marianne's group has been trying to rally active workers to kind of take their side and form a coalition. I mean, I am reminded of what's going on in France, where they're trying to raise the retirement age. It's not the retirees primarily who are out in the streets. It's the active workers, because they know it's going to affect them when they reach 62 or 64 years old in that case. Obviously, this is going to affect all the active workers when they become retirees too. So do you... Are you doing this, Jen? Are you finding apathy or are you finding interest among the current workers, as yourself a current worker chapter chair, as you spread the word on this issue?
I certainly see interest within, like, my union, within the PSC CUNY, of workers within CUNY, because our union has done a really good job educating members about this issue, because it's really complicated and it's hard to sort of follow. And I guess the shout out that I would say is I really hope that UFT teachers, active teachers, are the group that is really paying attention to this right now, because they are one of the groups, and DC 37 workers, actives, they are the group, because of the how the MLC works, they are the workers that could really change this in the future. And I really hope they are the people that are paying attention, and they're the people with whom we need to create solidarity. I talk to DC 37 workers who work within CUNY all the time about this issue, and that's the movement we need to build. And honestly, we're really scared, and there's a lot of work to do.
Jen, thank you very much. So there's your rallying cry, Marianne. I think, if I heard Jen correctly, it's that they should see this as an opening shot to privatize or add premiums to active worker health benefits, not just retiree benefits. That comes first. The rest of it may come later if this goes through. That's a powerful argument.
Well, it is. And, you know, we're in this situation, unfortunately, because the de Blasio administration refused to negotiate contracts with the unions, leaving them desperate to, unfortunately, make a deal like this. But when you're looking at Medicare Advantage, you have the New York Times, Kaiser Health leading the way with putting out information, facts, citing, sourcing information. Even Congress is holding hearings exactly on this. So when you start to look at the problems about this, because this is a national debate about this company. If I were to say to you, hey, you're using a vendor that's been accused of fraud, would you use that vendor? No. But see, this is the exact situation. Every Medicare Advantage company is either indicted or under investigation by the Department of Justice, under investigation by the Health and Human Services Office of Inspector General, and yet right. We are moving in line with this company and forcing yes. retirees into this one plan who we've been trying to get the mayor to listen to us and say, listen, I have members right now that live in continued care communities, assisted living, nursing care, that this plan's not going to cover. And these are our most vulnerable. Why are you forcing us into this?
And it's not just that. Now, you mentioned the New York Times coverage. Here's an article that they just had yesterday. Headline, Biden plan to cut billions in Medicare fraud ignites lobbying frenzy. And that is specifically about cutting payments to Medicare Advantage plans because they seem to be defrauding the government, overbilling the Medicare system in so many instances. But let me ask you a couple of pushback questions. One is simply, healthcare cost inflation is real, and something has to be done to control healthcare costs. Managed care plans like Medicare Advantage plans are, you know, a central way that governments, unions, private sector companies are trying to do that. How else can you save the city $600 million a year, the number that they cite, and do whatever your part is to cut back on healthcare costs?
So I'm going to tell you, for a Medicare eligible retiree, the cost of us is less than 0.6% of the entire city budget. The retirees gave. We gave in blood, sweat, tears, and didn't take raises. So I think coming to a retired person who doesn't have a seat at a bargaining table, you're basically selling me off to fund something. And again, I told you why we're in this situation. But to save money, how is this suddenly a crisis today when I'll fully agree with you that there's issues, you know, that healthcare is expensive. But healthcare is, every mayor, since I've been reading in the archives going back to the 60s, says healthcare is expensive. That's not anything new. And that the city is all of a sudden saying it's a crisis now. Where have they been for the last 10, 15 years in trying to push back on savings, trying to find savings or cut back in any other way? Why haven't they pushed the insurers to negotiate better with the hospitals so that they aren't getting fleeced, as the MLC says? But then you're going to force me into privatized Medicare Advantage, allowing a for-profit insurer to take over our health care just because it's being funded by the federal government. I don't quite understand that. We don't typically give out handouts, but then we're asking the federal government for a handout to take care of our health care that the city mismanaged. Did I get that
another
right?
Another pushback.
I'm not quite understanding that.
Well, is Medicare Advantage really that bad? The stats I see are that a large share of Medicare recipients, approaching half, choose Medicare Advantage plans voluntarily when you look at the stats nationwide. Wait, because of the extra benefits that traditional Medicare doesn't cover, like vision and dental and hearing aids. So lots of folks voluntarily make that trade-off to have their choice of doctors limited in those plans, yes, and have the plan screen their tests and treatment options for medical necessity, yes. But with so many Americans choosing that trade-off, is it so bad to be on Medicare Advantage?
I'm going to say that they're not all choosing. Most of their employers are auto-enrolling them, forcing them off their employer health care right now.
Both things are
happening. Because of a federal rule. Yeah, so you do have some voluntarily going into them because of the perks that they're being sold. Heck, I met a woman in Florida who said that her Medicare Advantage plan gives her a debit card of $75 a month so she can go buy groceries. I don't think we should be trading off health care, access to medical providers, in order to get a $75 debit card. When I need a doctor, I need a doctor. To be able to tell me that there's, in Medicare, 97% of doctors in America take Medicare. The last Medicare Advantage plan, the Alliance, only 75% of the doctors in America would accept that plan. That's a narrowed network. And then that knowing that doctors can drop out of Medicare Advantage, the prior authorizations, when I'm sick and I'm getting older, I can't handle doing administrative work, having to wait for denial appeals and denials of care. The Office of Inspector General found that Medicare Advantage companies are for-profit, and the way that they make money is by denying and delaying your care. This is the statistic that's real. If healthcare is being denied by people and knowing that a small percentage of them do appeal and a majority of those appeals get overturned, what does that tell you? That this is a for-profit making scheme, that the easiest way to do this is to delay and deny you care, hoping you don't appeal, especially when the OIG finds that the majority of the people that did appeal, that they were wrongly denied or delayed their care. And their appeal, their denials got overturned. Why would you put a senior citizen through that?
Let me read some tweets that are coming in on the city and the union side. Somebody writes, why is everyone so upset? Comparison chart, similar to benefits of the GHI senior care. That's GHI, the plan that I guess the UFT members like, except maybe they made such a stink that Emblem backed out, and now they will have Aetna, which is a relative unknown to the retirees. I've been with HIP / Emblem Medicare Advantage for years. It's fine, says one listener. Another listener on the other side of that says, my parents worked for the city for decades, now in their 90s in the Bronx in their apartment. That Aetna plan is not accepted by any of their current doctors at a well-run clinic. The mayor and Michael Melgrew are abandoning our elderly retired public service workers. And so to that point that listener tweets and that you raised a minute ago about what doctors are in the plan, here's another clip of Michael Melgrew from his WNYC interview on March 10th saying this plan will serve retirees because he knows what retirees care about and they negotiated in some relevant safeguards. Listen.
Right now, if you're a city retiree, the main questions our retirees are always concerned with is, may I see my doctor? We're going from 185,000 doctors in a plan to 1.2 million. And we have performance guarantees with financial penalties on it if the company doesn't get everyone to either be in the plan or accept the billing. The next piece is we wanted to grow our network because we have retirees all over the country and we were able to grow the network immensely. So I think that will be better for them. And the big difference here is on a monthly basis, all of this information and data goes to a committee of which we're part of. And we can go to an arbitrator quickly for what's known as an expedited arbitration if we feel that someone's being denied something wrongly.
March 10th, Michael Melgrew on the station. So what's your response to that? And specifically what he points out there, that a very large number of doctors will be included, that's being negotiated in, and a cap on how many denials of claims or service there can be without mandatory fines or arbitration built in if they don't meet the targets.
Okay. first of all, we don't have to go through that procedure, any of those procedures in traditional Medicare. That he initially even has to set up something like that is a travesty that tells you he knows there's problems coming. So let's try to mitigate that by putting all these different panels and things in place in order to capture it, look at it, see if it was real. No. My doctor should be telling me what I need, not an insurance company, the MLC, Michael Mulgrew. And this is where we got to get away from this. The network. The network is narrowed because Aetna's talking point is 88% of the doctors retirees currently see are in the Aetna network. Well, if there's 183,000 Medicare-eligible retirees, 88% of them are currently in the Aetna network. How about how many doctors are in America that accept Aetna Medicare Advantage? That's what I would like to know, because no one's answering that question. Because if Aetna could have said it, Aetna would have said 88% of doctors in America will accept Aetna Medicare Advantage, not saying only 88% of doctors retirees currently see. And that's an issue, because I may see 10 doctors today, but as I get older or sicker, hey, look, I'm a 9/11 responder. We have 9/11 people. We have people that are affected by 9/11 with cancers that aren't responders. And those people need their health care because that's their first line of defense. The city lied to us by saying the air is safe. Go back to work. The mayor won't release documents because he's saying that it would hold the city liable. There would be a negligence claim against the city if he released those documents. That tells you he knows we're getting sick and dying because of our exposure. Those people who are not responders, they rely on their health care. Knowing that major cancer centers around America don't take a Medicare Advantage plan, what do you tell those people, and is the city going to lie to them again?
Let me get one more retiree voice on the phones here, and then I'm going to ask you a closing question about where you go from here. I know this is not only in negotiations, it's also in court. But John in Rockville Center, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi, Brian. How are you? Thank you for taking the call. I'm a former president of the Captains and Down Association, New York City Police Department. Just to really hone in on what Marianne said, this happened because of what we call pattern bargaining in New York City. So once one union goes in and sets the pattern, all the other unions have to accept that. Right, it's a great gimmick that the city has. So all they have to do is pick off a union, and then boom, that's the pattern for everybody else. Well, this time what happened is, as she said, DC 37 and the UFT combined control the MLC. They vote, boom, it's done. So what they did, De Blasio offered the sweetener, give me $400 million in savings from the MLC. This is the contract you have, DC 37. They were happy. They got it. None of the other active unions got it for their active members, just those two unions, and they sold everybody else down the river, and they sold the retirees down with them. And that's the actual fact, and that's the problem that we have.
John, thank you very much. So what happens next? I know this is in court. I also know this is happening all across the country. Many private companies that promise health insurance to retirees are forcing them onto Medicare Advantage plans to save money in exactly the same way. We've talked about that during this conversation. So, A, is there a national coalition that includes your group forming, or could it form, to increase its clout? And what's the legal argument? Like, you may not like that this is being done, but I know you're in court on it, so how can you argue that it's illegal?
So we do have a legal coalition, a national coalition that we are building, because we have aligned with retirees in Vermont, Chicago, Washington, Delaware, and the states keep calling us going, how are you fighting this? What could we do? They're doing this to us. Rather than taking the easy road, municipalities know their obligation. The city of New York knew its obligation since 12-126 was legislated in 1967. Their failure to plan shouldn't be our emergency to handle today. My organization is run on the premise that we have several different things that we can do to protect retirees. We are trying to do legislation. The city council speaker the other day on your show didn't think that this was a council issue. This absolutely is a council issue, and we rely upon her and the legislative body to protect us because that's what we have. The council blessed us with 12-126 in 1967. They gave that to us. And year after year, Mary Pinkett, who is the council person from District 28 and 35, the same seat that currently Crystal Hudson and Speaker Adams sits in today, championed retiree health care. And I keep saying I need my modern-day Mary Pinkett because she and Peter Vallone helped protect retirees through the decades. So I know legislation is the way. We have a bill that's been sitting in the city council legislative office that requires the city to provide us with a Medigap plan, a choice of a Medigap. And because the code is staying the same, that the city must pay for all employees, retirees, and their dependents up to the same amount of money, it would still be premium free. I would advocate for savings all day long with you, just not on the backs of retired labor who don't have a seat at the table or a seat in the room. And at this point, I paid my due. So I want to make sure that whether I go for litigation or legislation, that we have support. And the council needs to be there to help support us because we told them why we're in this situation. We've called for an investigation on the misuse of the stabilization fund, and that's fallen on deaf ears. And that's not even a fund that pays for our health care. And if you look at the cost of a Medicare-eligible retiree, like I said before, our cost to the city is less than 0.6% of the entire budget. We don't cost what an active worker costs the city. So I'm tired of hearing the misinformation about, oh, it's $600 million. According to the CAFA report, the Medicare-eligible retirees' cost to the city was $439 million. Is that still a lot of money? Yes. But it's not when you take into consideration all the others. We won in court. We won twice. We won in the appellate court. Six justices, two courts affirmed that the law was broken by the unions and the city. And they've done nothing but try to go around the judge's decision, misinterpret what the judge said to try to only offer one plan. They tried to intimidate a legislative body to change the law that we won our case on. And then they, when they realized they weren't going to get their way, what did they do? They eliminated every health care plan that was available to a retiree for whatever reason to force them only into one plan that benefits them. That leaves many of our retirees with higher prescription costs and no access to their medical doctors or their continuing care residential communities.
And the fight goes on. Mary Ann Pizzitola, president of a group that is formed around this issue, the New York City Organization of Public Service Retirees. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Brian.